Thank you very much. Take the word of God, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. The book of 1 Kings chapter 18. We're coming tonight to our next Bible Mountain. This is our topical series that we have going on. We have three series going. An Old Testament book, the book of Esther. A New Testament book, the book of 2 Timothy. And our topical series are the mountains of the Bible. And we've come to another mountain in 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll begin our reading in verse number 19. 1 Kings 18, verse 19. The Bible says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase, the last two words in verse number 20, the phrase Mount Carmel. Again, we're preaching through the mountains of the Bible, and we've come to this next mountain here, Mount Carmel. Let's pray together, and we'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May thy will be done. Thank you for the music here at the church, Brother Gary, and how he leads it, and the choir, and how they work so diligent. Pray that you help us now as we come to the preaching of your word. This is the main fault. This is the main thrust of the service. And I pray that you'll use it in a great way. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Our journey through the Word of God and picking out some different mountains has been a blessing and a help. I trust it has been to you. And as we come to this text, we are bringing out another mountain for which we can draw some wonderful truths from. And this mountain is Mount Carmel. This is the mountain on which Elijah challenges the false prophets of Baal and calls down fire from heaven to prove that God is God. And as I was preparing this message, if you remember, what we're doing is giving you the mountain and trying to bring out one major thought we can get from that mountain. And the one major thought that came through in my study, and I want to draw our attention to today, is this. Here it is. One sold-out Christian can make a difference. One sold-out Christian can make a difference. This text shows three groups of people. It shows one devoted servant of God by the name of Elijah. It shows 450 prophets of Baal, and then it shows the undecided. Now, sad to say, but the undecided is the largest group, and it's still the same today. Now, what we see in our text here is that one with God makes an overwhelming majority. Let me say it again. One with God makes an overwhelming majority. God can make a difference in this lost and dying world through one person who is sold out for His glory. I wonder tonight, will you be the one? This is what I want you to think about as we're preaching through right here on Mount Carmel. Now, I'm giving you Mount Carmel part one tonight. It's not all prepared because I realize I can't get through it anyway. So anyway, I've got the message, the outline, but it's not all typed out. I'm going to give you one part of what I've got typed out tonight, and I trust that this will be a blessing to you. Now, what we're going to do tonight is, it seemed as if the Lord was showing me, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, the kind of person Elijah was. In other words, what summarized his life that made him that one person that God made such a wonderful difference with? And can I say something? I see three major things about this man Elijah. He was a man of, and there's three things I'm going to give you. And these three things should be the same three things that we get on our face and beg God to help us be like Elijah in this. See, in order to help us understand what we're talking about, in verses 17 and 18, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, we see how Elijah is meeting with Ahab, the king, at this time.
Ahab accuses him of being the one who troubles Israel. Elijah answers him staunchly, if you will, by saying, "It's not me, it's you troubling Israel." And he said, "It's not only you, it's your father's house, because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you're following Balaam." Then Elijah calls for a meeting. Wouldn't you like to have been there? He calls for a meeting with the false prophets on Mount Carmel. And the Lord used him in a wonderful way. Now I'm going to give you one major thought tonight. One of these three, and you have to come back Wednesday night to hear as we proceed, God willing, on Wednesday night. What kind of a man was Elijah that made him a man that God used in such a great way? Number one, Elijah was a man of passion. He was a man of passion. As a matter of fact, I want to read this with you. Let's pick up our reading since we read down to verse 24. Pick up our reading with verse 25. "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are men in, call the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, he's pursuing, he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded." Now for time's sake, let me stop my reading there. But as you read down through verse number 35, there's one word that comes out about this man Elijah. He was a man of burning passion. I'm talking about, folks, he had a passion burning in his heart and soul that this world could not extinguish. He was completely devoted, if you will, to serving the Lord in the midst of this ungodly nation and this wicked Baal worship. As a matter of fact, we can note several things he had a passion for. Number one, under this, he had a passion to challenge wrongdoing. Now, in this passion, what I mean here is that Elijah was well aware of the goodness of Almighty God to him and the Israelites. However, at this time, these 450 prophets of Baal were trying to attribute worship that belonged to the Lord to a false god. And Elijah's passion started burning in his heart, and he just couldn't sit and ignore while this was going on. The chosen nation of God was being led astray from the worship of the one true God who had been so wonderful to them. And he steps up and tells Ahab to have these 450 false prophets to meet him on Mount Carmel. In this we see Elijah was a man who had a passion to challenge wrongdoing. He wasn't afraid to stand alone for the glory of God. He wanted everyone to know that what was going on was not right. He wanted to show these people that they were settling for a fraudulent god, and he had to do something about this. You know, on the same way tonight, as God's children, we need to have a spiritual backbone and stand against what is not right in the eyes of God. When something is being done to detract worship from God and distract others from God, God's children need to have a passion to challenge wrongdoing. Have a passion to speak up and say, that's not right. That's against the Word of God. And I will not yield to something like that. Ezekiel 22:30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Number one, he had a passion to challenge wrongdoing. Number two, he had a passion in verse 21 to call the people to serve God. Look at verse number 21. Notice what he says. He says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, following, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." In this verse, we see how when they got together on Mount Carmel, I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind. Elijah has marched into Ahab's presence, the king of these dear people, and this wicked, ungodly man. And this man says, "Are you the one that troubles Israel?" And Elijah says, "No, I'm not. You are, buddy. You and your daddies are. Your fathers are. You have turned away from God. And what I want you to do, I want you to call a meeting. I want to meet with all your false prophets on Mount Carmel." God, give us some more Elijahs. And when they get on the mountain, it's interesting what Elijah does. He turns away from the prophets and he starts addressing the people. And he asks them a question. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve Him. But if it's Baal, serve him. But you cannot have it both ways. This goes to show that Elijah had a passion to call people to choose whom they will serve. He wanted them to know and serve the Lord who had been so good to him and them. He wanted them to know that they cannot serve two masters. They must choose one or the other, but they can't have both. You know, in the same way, we need to understand that the Christian life is not a life of divided interest. The Lord will never leave people halted between two opinions. There are many things out there that call for your attention. The devil will try to make a child of God think that he can have it both ways. This is not what the Bible says. People today are half-hearted about the things of God, having the Lord as their Savior, but trying to serve themselves at the same time. Having the Lord as their Savior, but serving materialism or pleasure at the same time. See, people want salvation, but they also want sin. What I'm talking about is along with it. People want to be able to pray when they have a need, but they want to be able to live by their own rules at the same time. However, it's important that in the Christian life, we understand there is no middle ground, folks. I'm telling you tonight that Elijah was a man of burning passion. He had a passion to challenge wrongdoing. He had a passion to call God's people to sell out to God. The Bible says in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me, Jesus said, is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Revelation 3:14-16. And in the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, but then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. I'm planning, God willing, in the future to preach a message on what makes God sick. You know what it is? Lukewarm Christians. Those who want half the world and half Christ. And God says, if you try to live life that way, somebody's going to suffer. And more than likely, it's going to be God. God deserves our full allegiance. He's been good to us. He's passed by our heart tonight. His sweet Holy Spirit showed up at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Praise God for it. How dare a child of God say, thank you for saving me, but I want that too. You know what Elijah's doing? He had a passion inside of him to say, stop holding on to both. Let go of one and give God your life. We need to have that same passion. He had a passion, number three, not only to challenge wrongdoing and call the people to serve God, but number three, he had a passion to contribute all the glory to God. Let me show you what he did. After we see here, That these folks were cutting themselves and he's making fun of them, saying, hey, maybe he's asleep, wake him up. After nothing came, look at what he did in verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Question. What is Elijah getting ready to call for? Fire. But there had been a major drought for 3 years. So Elijah, what he does, he steps on the scene here. Those false prophets have been cutting themselves, calling out to Baal, and Baal's dead. He's not even alive. He's a false idol. Nothing answers, obviously. And Elijah could have stepped up and called down fire then, but he didn't. He said, see those four barrels there? I want you to go fill them with water. Pour them all over the sacrifice. Do it again. Fill the trench up. You say, Jody, what's he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's making sure that when the answer comes, God gets all the glory, folks. That's what he's doing. I'm telling you that what he's after is for his God to be honored. His God to be glorified. He had a burning passion inside of him that made him want to see God get all the glory that he deserves, his holy name. He wanted God to be praised. You know, folks, listen to me. We should all have a passion to give all the glory to God. In a life where they say, me, myself, and mine. Be all you can be. Make the best out of your own life. All that matters is what people think about you, hogwash. All that matters is what they think about your God. God deserves our glory. God deserves our praise. And Elijah is making sure here that when God answers by fire, that there's no question in the people's minds, this was God doing this. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:11, for mine own sake, even mine own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Psalm 86:12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In all of this first point, that we see he was a man of passion. Specifically, he had a passion to challenge wrongdoing, to call God's people to choose the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. And he had a passion to contribute all the glory to God. In all of this, what we see is he was a man of passion to serve and honor the Lord God of heaven. You know what made Elijah great? His God. And he simply gave his life to his God. Folks, listen to me, please. I'm trying to help me and help every one of us. We are all guilty of holding back something at some time in our life from God. Can I say something to you? The life that you have, God gave it to you. And he's made it that when you give it back to him, you find what you've been searching for all along. That's why people go to drugs, they go to sex, they go to alcohol, they go to all these other things. They go to money and money and more money and more money and more money, and they just can't get enough. Let me tell you why. Because there's a God vacuum inside of the human being. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill that void. And when he fills it, you know it. And he satisfies you. But do you understand in the Christian life it's the same way? That's for salvation, but that's also for your daily walk. That God has made your daily walk, that you are only truly satisfied and have the peace of God if you're right with God. Elijah was right with his God. And because Elijah spent time with his God and spent time on his knees, God gave him a burning passion in his soul.
that when something was being done wrong to his gods, you understand? They weren't doing Elijah wrong. They were doing God wrong. They were trying to give the worship and adoration and praise that belongs to God to Baal. And something inside this dear saint of God who was right with God said, oh, I can't sit on that. I've got to do something about this. And he marched right into the king's office, and God gave him holy boldness, and he said, you, sir, are the troublemaker in this country. That's Elijah. That's one man making a difference in that wicked world. And you, dear man, you, dear sir, you, dear teenager, you, dear child, God can use you to make a difference if you'll give your life to him. He had a passion to challenge wrongdoing. He had a passion to call the people, come and follow me. Let's give our life to God. He is the God. He is the God. He is the God. And since he is, serve him with all your heart. And he had a passion to give all the glory to God. He wanted to make sure that when God called, sent fire down, that nobody said, well, it was the drought. There was just a little spark that took place. No, there was no doubt about it that when the fire fell, that was God. Now, let me apply this with just some statements that other people have made. A man once said, we affirm absolutely that nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion. Did you hear that? Do you understand what a stench in God's nostrils it must be for a Christian to be half-hearted?
Well, I guess I'll just go do it. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Let me make this statement first. You can tell I'm scatterbrained here a little bit, but let me make this statement. You have a passion for something. Something drives you. You're motivated by something. What's your passion for tonight? Is it money? If it is, you'll do anything to get it. What is it?
Can I say something to you? Your passion shouldn't be a what. It should be a who. It should be God. There is no higher motive than him. Wesley said this, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and him crucified, I would set the world on fire. Then he said, send us men. This not him, but a heathen convert said, send us men with hot hearts. Powerful. Billy Sunday used to relate a graphic story of a well-known village atheist who was seen running vigorously to a burning church building. And he was intent on joining with others to try to help put the flames out. A neighbor observed him, possibly knowing he was an atheist, and he said this, I guess the word would be facetiously. He said, this is something new for you. He said, I never saw you going to church before. And the atheist replied, well, this is the first time I've ever seen a church on fire. You may tell you what would help some atheists? By the way, we've got them in our area. We've got somebody who claims they don't even believe in God. The Bible has a word for them. They're a fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. And they'll change their tune. But let me tell you one thing that they need. They need to see a Christian on fire. That's what they need. And this man Elijah was on fire, folks. I'm telling you one thing. I read about him. I guarantee he probably didn't smell very good. But I know one thing. He had the power of God on his life. And he made a difference because he had passion burning in his heart. John Wesley was denied the privilege of preaching from the pulpit in the church. So what did he do? Did he quit? No. With evangelistic fervor, he took his father's tomb and made a pulpit out of it. And he preached from his father's own tomb to people. You know what one word comes to my mind when I hear that? Passion. Passionate. Sold out. John Knox, who cried out in his earnestness, give me Scotland or I die, carried with him this zeal to the close of his ministry. Often he would be supported by other people in order just to get to the pulpit. In other words, he was so weak, I guess, you know, from something physical. This is the man that said, give me Scotland or I die. Passion.
burning zeal, sold out. And yet when he was nearing the end of his life, apparently these dear people had to help him get to the pulpit. Just picture this in your mind. He's not even healthy enough to get to the pulpit. They were having to help him get to the pulpit. But here's what this story goes on to say. But when he arose to speak, the divine passion so filled his soul that one of his friends said this, and I quote. Now keep in mind, he had to have help to get to the pulpit. But when he started preaching, here's what this friend said, and I quote, "So mighty was he in his yearning that I thought he would break the pulpit into bits." You know what that tells me? Passionate Christian. He had something in his heart that even though in his body he was weak, when he started talking about that, something went, whoop, oh man, that's good right there inside of him. And the man who couldn't even hardly walk to the pulpit would about beat the pulpit to bits because he had passion in his heart. You know what we need? We need some men and women and teenagers and boys and girls who will give their life to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Say, "God, you've been good to me. I'll give you my life. I'll sell out lock, stock, and barrel. I'll let you make a difference in me." And folks, if one person in this congregation would make a commitment like that, it would change this church. This church is a great church. Amen. We've got a wonderful place to worship. But I'm not satisfied with where we're at. I hope you're not either. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more families put back together. I want to see more people. I'm talking about getting right with God. It can happen. You know, we tell you it can happen when this person says, "I'll be the one. I'll 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 be the one." And instead of giving your life to video games, give your life to God and let Him make a difference in this world through you. The first thing we notice about this man named Elijah, the man who made a difference for God, the man who stood in front of 450 false prophets and all the people gathered there, one Christian stood and made a difference on Mount Carmel. And the reason he made a difference, number one, is because he was a man of passion. Passion. And I wonder, does God have your passion? Are you going after Him? Do you really love Him? Does it hurt your heart when you see something that displeases Him? Does something inside you say, "I just can't let that go. That detracts from God. I can't let that happen. That's taking glory from God. I've got to do something. I've got to say something." And then those in your sphere of influence, you challenge them and you call them to follow God, who is the true God. And then you give all the glory to God when He works and He moves and He draws people to Himself. This is where we're getting started with Mount Carmel. Second thing we notice about him, and I'm not going to preach on it, but this is introductory, God willing, to Wednesday night. We see, secondly, in verses 36 to 45, he was not only a man of passion, but number two, he was a man of prayer. After that, in verse number 46, I believe it is, we see that he's a man of power. If you want the outline, you're not planning on coming back after this service, there's the outline for you. He's a man of passion, a man of prayer, and a man of power. God willing, Wednesday night we'll pick it up with a man of prayer. There's four things about his prayer we can all learn from. And I hope you'll be here to hear it. Mount Carmel, what do we learn? One sold-out Christian can make a difference. And the reason Elijah made a difference is because, first of all, he was a man of passion. He had passion to challenge wrongdoing, call the people to serve God, and contribute all the glory to his God. And may the Lord help us to be a man or a woman of passion, to serve our God from our heart and please Him after all He's done for us. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your goodness to us. And Lord, as we've just gotten started on this sermon on Mount Carmel, I pray that You help us all to heed the lesson that we've learned so far from Elijah and how You used him in such a wonderful way. He was one human being who was a sold-out child of God.
and you used him in such a marvelous way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I wonder tonight, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you a Christian? If you're not sure you're saved tonight, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Some are already responding, not to the gospel per se, but just coming to pray. I wonder, men, I love it when men respond, and there's a lot of men that's already responded, but I wonder, men, tonight, what's God saying to you? Does God look at your home and say, there's an Elijah? Does he look at your workplace and say, I'll tell you one thing, maybe the rest of the company's going off, but there's my Elijah today. There's my Elijah. I'll be the one. I want to ask you something, man. Do you accept the challenge to say, God, if the world goes off, you helping me, I want to stay right. You mean business. Get out of your seat. Come down to this altar. Talk to God about it. Come on. Ask the Lord to help you. How about you teenagers? You say, Jody, I'm a teenager, but I'll tell you one thing. There's something in me that wants to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I really want to make a difference. If you're a teenager and you say, Jody, that's me. I want to be the one. I want to be the young lady who lives for God. I want to be the young man who lives for God. I want to be that Christian teenager who takes a stand and leads other people to Christ. If you're a teenager and that's you, get out of your seat right now. Come to this altar. Don't be ashamed as a teenager to get out of your seat and come. Come on, teenagers. You say, Jody, this is me. I want to be a teenager. I want to be the one. I want to be a young man, a young lady. I want to be somebody who takes a stand for God. I want to do something for the Lord. God help you. I love to see precious young people responding. No doubt about it. How about it, dear lady? You say, it's Elijah. I know that, but let me tell you something. God can use you as a lady to take a stand for him. And I wonder, are you going to say tonight, God, help me to be the one? You're a lady tonight, and you say, Jody, I want that. I want to be the one. I really do. I want to be somebody who stands for God, and I'm willing to stand alone. If that's you, get out of your seat. Come on to this altar. Come now. Because I'm a lady, and I want that. Come on. Talk to God about it. I would encourage the parents of these teenagers, if you see your teenager at the altar, you feel free to come pray with them. Come on up here and pray with them. May God help you with this. It's precious to see families praying together with their teenagers. If you see your teenager, come on. Come and pray with them. Ask God to put their hand upon them. Bless them and use them. Guide them and direct them. May God bless them. Amen. Young people, be a young lady or a young man of passion. Give your heart to Jesus. Be a man of passion. Be a lady of passion. Be somebody who's like Elijah and says, I'll tell you one thing. I don't care if there's 450 or 4,050. I'm going to take a stand for God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'll be the one who will let God and allow the Lord to use my life. God help us. Amen. Amen. Brother Gary, let's just sing that first verse together, and we'll proceed here and give a few announcements and be on our way. Let's sing it. Let's sing that first verse.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Brother Bob's going to come and give us an announcement. You go ahead and push this coming weekend if you don't mind too, okay?
We're excited about this next coming weekend. We're calling it Teen Weekend. Saturday night at 6 o'clock, we've got our Truth Teen Rally. Brother Scott Pauley will be here preaching. We're excited about that. We've got several youth groups that are planning on coming. I want to encourage you as a church family, please work hard at inviting teenagers in your neighborhood, young people, teenagers at your school. We've got about 1,000 of these flyers out in the lobby. Please take large stacks of them, pass them out this week. Let's try to get as many teenagers here as possible. Wouldn't it be great to see a number of young people trust the Lord through passing out these flyers with the gospel on them? Also, Sunday, we're calling it Teen Sunday. Sunday night, our teenagers will be serving in the service. We'll have some of our guys ushering, a couple giving testimonies. We'll have a ladies' ensemble singing, and we're looking forward to that. With that said, ladies, reminder, the girls' teen ensemble will be meeting in the chapel for a brief practice right after this. Thank you.
Great. Just about through. I need to call the church in the business for one item. Is Wade here tonight? Is Bobby here tonight? Brother Steve, come on up here just a minute. We'll let you make this motion. This is for the Brazilian pastor that the deacon board and myself has been informed of. This is the church where Brother Tory was serving for so long, and they have found a national pastor to help keep that church revived and keep it going. And our church can have a major part in keeping that church going for the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? So what the motion is, Brother Stephen, I'll let you make it here, is that we give $300 a month to this Brazilian pastor, and then when he's full-time, we're going to bump that up to $600 if we can, just for 2 years, and see where he's at, and then after that, we'll kind of adjust that way. So if you want to come make that a motion, we'll vote on this, and Brother Graham Thorne is going to be taking care of the funds and filtering them, making sure they get to the right place. So that's what this is about, okay?
Okay, the motion now is that the pastor and deacons recommends that we give $300 a month to this church for the next 2 years, and I'll make that a motion.
That's been a motion. Could we have a second on that, please, if you wouldn't mind, Brother Matney? All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carried. Thank God we have it to do it with. Amen. And it'll be great to see people saved down in Brazil from this church whose doors were left open because our church had a good part in supporting a pastor who will preach and teach the Word of God there. We're excited about that. I hope you are. And that's a great blessing. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Could I have a motion that we dismiss this meeting? Brother Steve, Brother Leroy, second. How many of you are proud of your pastor that I remember that? Would you raise your hand? Good. Very good. Wonderful. Let's be dismissed in prayer. God bless you for being here. Be back on Wednesday night right in your place, and that'll be a great thing. All right? Let's see here. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Be dismissed in prayer. God bless you for being here. Be back on Wednesday night right in your place, and that'll be a great thing. All right? Let's see here. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer.